You are listening to the audio-only portion of the KoopaCast. To watch the video version, please check out purenintendo.com/KoopaCast. The intro and outro music of our KoopaCast is brought to you by the artist Big Giant Circles, who has composed for projects such as Mass Effect 2, Super Street Fighter 2 HD Remix, and Borderlands 2. Our opening song is Houston, and our closing song is A Rose in the Field, both from the album Glory Days. To listen to more of Big Giant Circles' work, go to music.biggiantcircles.com to see his entire collection of video game remixes and soundtracks. You can also find his collection on iTunes. Again, that website is music.biggiantcircles.com. Hey everyone, welcome to KoopaCast number 59. We are going to be talking about the new 3DS. I am your host, Matt Paxton, the multimedia manager here at PNMandPureNintendo.com, your independent source for all things Nintendo. Today I am joined by three other people. I am joined by Trevor Gould.
Hi, thanks for joining us. Glad to be here.
Justin Sharp.
Hey everyone.
And Alex Stramka.
I'll take it. Come Hi, on. Everybody.
I gotta get this. Send me like a pronunciation chart after the KoopaCast.
I will. I've actually got one of those mentally prepared. I'm used to having to explain it, so.
Okay.
I got you covered, man.
And as I said before, we're going to be talking about the new 3DS. As you know, last week, Nintendo hosted a Nintendo Direct. They talked about a number of Wii U and 3DS games, but they also devoted a healthy chunk to giving out details of the new 3DS and new 3DS XL. So we'll be sharing our thoughts about it. If you have any questions for the KoopaCast, feel free to drop us a comment in the comments of our website of purenintendo.com, or you can also use our Q&A app at Google+, or you can also tweet us directly. Just tweet purely_Matt. With the hashtag KoopaCast. Now with that out of the way, we can go ahead and get started. Now everyone's seen the new Nintendo Direct, right?
Yep. Yes, it was awesome.
And as you know, the North American, everyone's getting the 3DS and the 3DS XL. Except for North America, which is just getting the new 3DS XL. So my first question to you all is if you guys think that's a bad plan, and is anybody actually like, was anybody looking forward to the regular new 3DS?
I totally was. I was getting ready to pre-order some faceplates from Japan, man. Mm-hmm. I like the idea of being able to change out the looks, and it would be great because then I wouldn't have to worry about an awesome special edition coming out when I already have a system of my own. So it's like, man, that design looks really cool, but I don't want to pay $200 for a new 3DS, so. Mm-hmm. I thought that would have been the perfect solution, so a little disappointed.
Yeah, I was definitely disappointed as well. I think I was still leaning towards getting the XL, but not having the option was a bummer because I was like, you know, I wanted to at least see what faceplates they would bring to the United States, you know, because maybe in North America they would have, I don't know, maybe, you know, some different plates or something specific to our region, some Majora's Mask plates or something they would have announced. So I was hoping for something like that, but, I mean, I guess it makes my decision easier. I'm getting a new 3DS XL, so.
That's true. As a individual consumer, I wasn't particularly affected because I prefer the larger models. Mm-hmm. But as a Nintendo fan, I like to see choices given to others, because I know a lot of people, even though I wasn't particularly crazy about them, a lot of people, like Alex mentioned, were very keen on the plates. Mm-hmm. And I think Nintendo's answer on the topic of why is North America not getting it versus these other regions was cryptic at best. Mm-hmm. And at worst, it was just meaningless. I think had Nintendo just said, look, due to shelf space reasons or due to market data, we're not bringing it, you know, people wouldn't be happy, but they would have accepted it because mm-hmm. at least the reason was clear enough. We kind of don't really understand as of yet why they're holding it back.
I actually I have the article on hand that we have on purenintendo.com that has a comment saying why we won't get the regular 3DS and just the XL. And I'll bring it up for you all right now. Sorry to anybody in any future audio podcast that we do that they can't read this, but you can go to purenintendo.com to read it. As you can see here, we have the statement, which is, different territories make their own business decisions regarding individual products and timing. We think the new 3DS XL makes the most sense for our market. Nintendo makes different systems at different price points for a whole range of consumers, and the new 3DS XL simply expands those choices even further. Huh. And so, I mean, was that comment sufficient for anybody, or does anybody want to hear more? Like, what specifically, like, you know, drove them to look at North America and say, okay, we can only give them an XL?
To me, it's kind of a very polite way of saying that we don't think a majority of people in North America are going to buy into the faceplate gimmick,
mm-hmm.
which to me, I think, I don't think that's necessarily true, especially with how we're kind of like a cell phone generation now, and people love to buy new cases with different designs for their phones. It would seem like a natural progression that it would do well in America as well, to be able to change your video game console's looks. Mm-hmm. So I think it was just maybe a bad move on their part. They didn't think about the way our generation likes to change our stuff all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I think an answer of that nature just leads to more speculation. Like, I have theories why it's not coming over here. I do think maybe like shelf space is a possibility, because Nintendo, especially like with Wii U, is fighting for shelf space as it is. Now they have Amiibos, which are coming out at a very quick rate. That's going to need more shelf space. They have existing 3DS. They would need shelf space for the new plates. You know, there's a lot of factors to consider there. I don't know. But I also wonder, particularly with the plates, because, you know, you have to take them off, put them on. I wonder if Nintendo just thinks Americans are lazy and wouldn't bother with it. I mean, we're a country where we'll buy the same game twice for a Wii just because we don't have to click a button to put the Wii U in Wii mode.
Mm-hmm.
That's how lazy we are. How much more effort does it take to swap out plates?
Yeah.
Wait, who are you including in this demographic? Because if it's just you, then it's just you. But I know I myself am not lazy enough to not push buttons.
I'm not saying me. I haven't bought any of the Wii games on Virtual Console or whatever they're calling it now.
I've been tempted to get Super Mario Galaxy 2, but in my defense, I don't actually own a physical copy of that game. So it would just benefit me even more.
That's true.
I'm still lazy, though.
I wonder if there's maybe, like, they must have internal data, maybe from, like, Club Nintendo surveys that show the bulk of the people in America who buy new models probably already have an existing one, I'm guessing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying it makes the choice right, but
I'd like to know what's the number of, like, people who bought the 3DS, but then when the 3DS XL came out, they went ahead and sold their 3DS to put towards the XL. Because I'm thinking if there was a significant number of people, and then Nintendo of America looked at that and said, hey, why should we bother with just getting the new 3DS? Let's just put out the new 3DS XL. You know, let's cut out a step. We could save some money this way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One reason that I was thinking about was, I don't know, you know, in America, you know, I could see maybe, you know, Reggie and, you know, some of the higher ups at Nintendo of America, you know, getting the new systems, and they're like, hey, you know, our sales on the XL are already outpacing the regular size one. You know, people in America, you know, that maybe the demographic who's buying the 3DS has larger hands in general. I don't know. But maybe they're like, hey, for the experiences we're going to come out with on the new 3DS, like Xenoblade, Majora's Mask 3D, we want to have the bigger size with the bigger screen as the only option. You know, just to really, you know, hit home the cinematic nature and, you know, some of these new games that are coming out. Because I feel like Monster Hunter and Majora's Mask and Xenoblade are just going to look, they're going to be a better experience and a bigger screen, I think. And a smaller screen, maybe they were just like, maybe they played some of it and they did some tests, maybe some focus groups in America, And, you know, someone was like, oh, it's really tiny playing Xenoblade on this, you know, smaller 3DS. I don't know, but that may be one reason.
Two things. One, I'm glad that you managed to mention Xenoblade Chronicles before I did, so I'm glad somebody else cracked first.
Yeah.
The second thing was, I was thinking along the same lines as you of, like, some of those bigger games, because, like, Xenoblade is a large game. It's a half-hour game just to complete the main path.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking for, like, maybe they were thinking that a larger experience, and if they continue on with, like, Monster Hunter 4, that they want the bigger screen so people can kind of see more game, you know, comprehend, see things a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it definitely makes total sense that we're just going to get the XL.
Yeah.
You know, adding to that, I do remember they actually have done a study that says a lot of mobile gaming, ironically, takes place at home. Mm. So I wonder if it's just because of, like, the other territories, like Japan is much bigger on their gaming on the go, you know, playing it on the train and stuff for commutes. That's not as big as it is here. So I wonder if that was another factor that went into the decision.
That is true. Yeah, because I know granted, I'm not a kid and I'm not traveling around with my parents much anymore like I used to with my Game Boys and stuff, but I find when I normally do play my 3DS, it's at home or I guess on vacation, but at least I'm like in a hotel or something. I'm not really playing it in the car somewhere. I guess on the plane, but yeah, less on the go, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Think about like the XL models. One of the gripes, to the extent there were gripes, is it was harder to hold the 3D because the screen's bigger. But now with the new model that has the face tracking technology, if that's no longer a factor, then Nintendo definitely wants to take advantage of that and show it off and be like, look, you have this large screen and yet you don't lose that sweet spot. I think that's a key, key selling point.
Yeah, that's true. And a bigger screen would help, you know, that sweet spot be even a little bit bigger. You got a little bit larger screen, you know, you're tilting more, it's going to be a little bit better experience probably for showing people.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it seems like with this new 3DS XL, I mean, they're it's a big move for them in more ways than one, because not only is this a bigger device, but this is also more, you know, technologically advanced device.
Mm.
I've gotten to look at, you know, some of the stuff about the 3DS XL, and of course with Xenoblade Chronicles, you could tell that it's going to be a more robust hardware. Mm-hmm. Justin, I don't know if you wanted to go over a little bit more about the technical specs, because I know you understand that kind of jargon a lot more, a lot better than I do, right?
Yeah. Here I'll go over some of the tech specs here. This was from like a document that Nintendo released to developers. But basically, the major differences, I mean, there's not a whole lot, because it's not a completely new system. They haven't drastically changed things, but they have, you know, just tweaked and increased a couple things. So the things that popped out to me, the GPU, or the graphics processing unit, most people probably know that. The one in the original 3DS was a DMP Pika 200, which was clocked at 133 megahertz. In the new 3DS, it's the same exact GPU, only it's clocked at 266 megahertz. So it's twice the speed, essentially. So that's a big advantage. And then you also have, in the original 3DS, you had 6 megabytes dedicated accelerated video RAM. So if you think of like a GPU, a lot of video cards, if you have like a gaming PCs, you know, nowadays you have like a gigabyte of dedicated video RAM. So if that gives you an idea, you know, a 3DS is doing a lot with a little. The new 3DS has 10 megabytes dedicated video RAM, so just 4 megabytes more, so it's not quite a double increase. And it also says added various customizations to improve graphics acceleration and improve developer experience. So some of that stuff we probably won't even see. And then on the CPU side of things, the original 3DS had an ARM 11 dual core chip at 266 megahertz, and the new one, same ARM 11 dual core, but it's clocked at 532 megahertz. And then the RAM in the original 3DS had 128 megabytes. This one has 256 megabytes. with 64 megabytes dedicated RAM for the operating system. So you can see there's almost a double increase on the GPU, the video RAM, and the CPU, and the memory for the actual operating system level functions. So that's why, you know, when they say, oh, you know, browsing the interface on the 3DS is going to be faster. Well, it's got more memory. You know, downloading data onto the system is going to be faster. Well, it's got, you know, faster processor. You know, so it's going to make those things a little bit quicker. And then the GPU is going to help with, you know, frame rate. It's going to help with, they can do better textures at a faster frame rate. So those are the things that I gleaned from it. And that's really the major differences. There's a slight battery increase too. The battery level is 3.5 hours to 6 hours with the new 3DS, whereas before it was just 3 to 5.
So. All right. I mean, a lot of that, though, does sound pretty significant to me anyway. I mean, like you said, like, well, double a lot of things on there.
And yeah.
And stuff like that that really kind of makes me interested to see what they can come out with this new 3DS. Like, you know, how large are the games, and, like, what direction is Nintendo going with this new 3DS? Because with this, it's, like, another step closer to, you know, home console quality gaming.
Yeah. One thing that I was noticing, there was some threads started where they were doing comparison screenshots between like Monster Hunter 4. People were just playing the demo, but they were comparing Monster Hunter 4 demo on the regular 3DS with the new 3DS, and they actually noticed the textures were better on the new 3DS. The frame rate was better. So there were several upgrades that was, you know, they were immediately apparent. One of the big ones was the shadows. All of the shadows of the characters in the game looked kind of pixelated on the regular 3DS, but they just looked a lot sharper and a lot better on the new 3DS. So I think you're going to see some upgrades, even if the developer says, oh, we really didn't do too much to this game. We just added, you know, support for the extra buttons and the C-stick. But I think you're going to see a little bit more, you know, upgrade even beyond that. So.
All right. And with all these upgrades, well, first I want to say we did kind of touch on this subject a little bit before on the last KoopaCast. We talked about predictions. But with this new 3DS, I mean, everything I'm seeing, it really makes me feel like we're going to be seeing this handheld console for, you know, 3 to 4 years. Justin, I think I remember you said something around the lines of 2 years, right?
Yeah, I don't think it'll be 3 to 4 years. That's a really long time. I mean, they could easily do an iteration, you know, halfway. You know, Nintendo's been coming out with iterations at least every, I don't know, say a year and a half. 2DS is kind of different. It's not really an upgrade, just kind of a different offering. But
kind of a sidestep kind of thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So... I don't know, but I don't know. I mean, they could see longer legs with it, you know, and there may be more exclusives that are coming. I don't know. One impression, see, you got, you know, kind of the impression they're going to be supporting it later on. I kind of got the opposite impression just based on the fact that they didn't bring the normal new 3DS to the States. Just the fact that they're only bringing the XL over here leads me to believe that, you know, the cycle on this one isn't going to be as long, but maybe that's just me.
Well, I wonder too, is the smaller model, is it never coming here? Or is it just a delay? Is it going to show up next holiday season or something and get a boom in sales? I don't know, but I think I lean more towards maybe Matt's view in terms of life, just looking at, you know, the predecessors, the DS, the GBA, how long those systems lasted, how long they were supported. And even if Nintendo did bring out a new handheld or a new hybrid,
mm-hmm.
You know, history indicates that the 3DS would still, at least for the first year or two, keep getting releases.
Yeah.
So I think it's got a fair amount of time left myself.
Mm-hmm.
especially since the 3DS family, if you think about it, is it only just now turned 4 years old. I think the original 3DS was released in March of 2011. Yep. So I guess if you go on like a 6 year console life cycle, you know, it's still got, you know, some more life to it.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if they want to milk the new 3DS exclusives out, they'll keep it alive for a little bit longer.
Right.
Yeah.
This does just seem like a much more significant variation in the 3DS family or even in the DS family compared to like any handheld that we've seen previously. Within the same, I don't know what you call it, like family. Like when I say family, like there's like the DS, there's the DSi, there's the Game Boy Advance, there's the Game Boy Advance SP, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the 3DS and the new 3DS, that seems like it's much more significant between the two, even between the DS and the DSi. This seems like it's much more like, I can't come up with another word besides significant, but you know, you guys understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It seems like they invested a lot into the device, and it would seem kind of silly for them to just, you know, replace it again 2 years later.
It's sizable, but I mean, by the same token, I think the DS Lite to the DSi was fairly sizable too. I mean, it brought about the cameras, it introduced, you know, the eShop or DSiWare. Mm-hmm. I mean, there were a lot of, you know, sizable, I guess, is the word I would use, changes, and not that they were all necessarily taking the best advantage of,
mm-hmm.
because it was still that core technology, much like it is with the new 3DS at its core. It's still that you know, technology that's been beefed up. I, you know, I don't know how it's going to be taken advantage of. I suppose, like the first new 3DS exclusive Xenoblade, I suppose sales would probably dictate how much effort Nintendo or third parties put into making experiences that can only be had on the new system.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're hoping, since that game maybe didn't sell as well for the Wii, that it's going to blow people's minds when they play it on the handhelds. Because if you're familiar with the game, just the sheer scale, the environment, and the places that you can go, this is like pretty mind-blowing,
yeah.
to put it mildly. So I think they're hoping that that's going to like showcase what the new 3DS is capable of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. I think at least in America, the later releases, Xenoblade, and the fact that you could only get it at GameStop or from Nintendo Direct, I think those factors combined to make it an experience that the hardcore fans experience, but a lot of the other fans maybe didn't get a chance to. I'm hoping that it can reach a wider audience on the new 3DS.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and just kind of one quick aside about the 3DS. Another thing I kind of failed to mention at the beginning is that the new 3DS packaging, with the exception of some special editions, like the Majora's Mask special edition, most of them will not have AC adapters, which are, and they're already kind of expecting you to have an AC adapter, I guess, is what their logic was.
Mm-hmm.
You can use it from the previous 3DS, the DS, the DSi. All those can go into the new 3DS. But I'm just kind of curious to hear your opinions on that. Like, you guys feel like they should have included that? Because it sounds like you need to buy it. You need to buy it from Nintendo. Because if you don't, if you buy it from a third party, it voids your warranty.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably out. And if you buy it from Nintendo, it's still $14.99. And Nintendo's logic with this whole thing was that they're trying to save you money, but, and eventually you're going to have to just put the money into that AC adapter anyway, so I don't, like, I don't feel like I'm saving any money if I buy the new 3DS and then turn around and have to buy an adapter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought it was a little anti-consumer, you know, I'm not sure quite what they were thinking, like, I'm sure there are a lot of people that still have the older systems and will get by with it, but like in my case, I've been trading in my systems because they have the system transfer tool now. You know, it's like ever since the DSi, I can transfer stuff to the 3DS, and then from the 3DS, I can transfer to another 3DS. So I'm going to take my data from this one, move it on to the new 3DS XL. So, I mean, since they've been kind of pushing people into the system transfer process, you know, there's not much reason to have some of those older systems. I can play all the DSiWare on my 3DS. You know, I've got all of my games I had there. So I sold my DSi, and I sold my original 3DS. So I just have a 3DS XL. You know, so it's kind of a bummer for me. And, you know, a lot of people I'm sure have the same situation where they might want to trade this in at GameStop or something. And if they trade in just the system, GameStop isn't going to give them a full trade-in value unless it has the AC adapter, right? I mean, and that may be like a $40 difference on the trade-in, you know, because GameStop will be like, oh, if it doesn't have the AC adapter, you know, it's worth like $40 to us instead of $100, you know, because we're not going to be able to sell it. We're going to have to, you know, buy another one and bundle it with it, you know. But yeah, I think it's kind of a bummer. I mean, you can find them for fairly cheap. I even found a site that will sell them like at wholesale prices, like for $1 or $2. So I'll have to let you guys know where I found that. But so just look online. You can find some official 3DS adapters that'll work with all those for very cheap. So.
Yeah. And I think Nintendo has it on their own site where you can buy a new or refurbished AC adapter. And I think they're pricing it somewhere between $14.99 and $10.99. Mm-hmm. I think that's right, but I'm not 100% on that.
eBay is the way to go, folks. Mm-hmm. If you can't buy a wholesale, eBay has them pretty darn cheap. You can pick it up for $3.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The situation reminds me in a lot of ways, and I'm going to date myself a bit, but you know, back when I bought the original PlayStation, and I'm wondering, where's the RF unit? How am I going to hook this up to the TV? Uh-huh. Well, no, it came with AV cables because that's the way technology was going. Uh-huh. If you don't have an RF unit, I can't play the console. I have to go out and buy one at $20 or whatever. Uh-huh. You know, I think it reminds me. I know it's a different, you know, different thing because this is actually powering the unit, but you know, it's one of those things that I think the core gamers are probably dealt with in one way or another, whether it's an example like that or buying a Blu-ray player and then having to buy an HDMI cable or, you know, or anything. I think people are used, for better or worse, to shelling out for extra components.
Mm-hmm. For our younger viewers, I guess, since if we are dating ourselves talking about RF, did you want to go ahead and explain what RF was?
I'm sorry, I didn't get you.
I said, did you want to go ahead and explain what RF is?
It's a little box with a nub that you hooked on the back of the TV. I don't know the technical.
A really, really annoying cable that you had to twist into the back of your TV forever, and it never went on easily. The struggle is real.
Yeah, some of them had little like screws you had to line up just
those
right.
Those screws. Yeah, if we were off by just the tiniest bit, you'd be there for eternity and nothing would happen.
Uh-huh. I think it was, I don't know if it was the Genesis, one of them I remember had a great one. It just popped on. There was no screwing involved, and that was such a dream.
I think that was the Genesis. I'm not 100% sure on that, but I remember that was like a revelation. It's like, why don't they all do this?
But even, you know, the RF unit in itself, that was a big thing, because if you ever play an old Atari with the old, I don't even know what you call them, the little snake tongue that extend from them.
Yeah, they were like little bunny ears, and you had to slide them into the antenna thing, and then
like you have to be
all the screwdriver
to hook it up. So,
now I feel old.
We all feel sufficiently old. All right, yeah, the RF thing just got me like sidetracked. So I remember all the pain I had with the RF units, with the not getting them on.
So the ones my fingers would hurt trying to screw those in.
Oh, yeah, same here, but they toughened up your hands.
Exactly.
And you daisy chain them. If you had three or four in the same TV, you'd have this big web of...
Oh, yeah.
That was my TV, but stupidly for mine, the one that just didn't have the screw, and it just popped on, was the one in the middle. So a slight breeze, just knock it off, and... I've completely lost my signal. I have to crawl back and fix it all up again.
You kids today have it easy.
They do. Really appreciate their HDMI cables. One cable. One cable, that's all you need. Instant HD.
Uh-huh.
And Sorry, we are getting kind of off topic a little bit.
Big surprise.
Yeah, big surprise. But Justin brought up a good point. I think it was Justin or Trevor about user friendliness with the new 3DS, or maybe it was Alex.
No, I didn't say
anything.
Definitely
one of us.
Somebody said it.
Somebody said it and brought up a good point. Because speaking of user friendliness, not only is gotta switch back to me. Okay, not only is the 3DS XL, like, it doesn't come with an AC adapter, but they also switch from SD to micro SD, so that's a change in format. And even more, to access the micro SD, you have to unscrew a portion of the 3DS with an O-type screwdriver, I believe it was. Right now, go ahead, raise your hand. How many of us have an O-type screwdriver?
Define O-type screwdriver.
I probably
I'm not sure I know what that is.
If I remember right, yeah, that's the problem. If you remember what it is, or if you know what it is. I'm trying to find an example.
You're on the spot now.
I am on the spot. Got it. So, there are some screws, I think, in the new Wii U that they have this type. It's not a very type of... No, this one doesn't have it either.
Is it the ones that are kind of... It's like kind of circular with the little star type ridges around it?
Yeah, that's that one.
Oh, now I got some of those lying around.
Yeah, Max have it. But yeah, if you don't have those, I barely ever see those around. Then, you know, you might be as well. You have to go to the Home Depot, I guess, and pick one up. You know, just to change memory cards, because that thing only comes with, what, a 4 gigabyte memory card, micro SD. Yeah,
4 gig.
Yeah, I'm upgrading that puppy.
Yep.
Yeah, so if your current system has more than 4 gigs of data, then, you know, you're going to be, well, for bad lack of a better term, SOL, unless you can find yourself an O-type screwdriver and a larger micro SD card.
Hey, if the N-Gage could make it, having to do that just to change games... Because I don't know if you guys remember the N-Gage, the original model.
We remember the N-Gage.
The game.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's probably a bad example, because not that they're a...
They didn't really make it.
This is small by comparison, though.
So. Yeah.
Oh, excellent. But, I think for me, I don't mind it, because I'm used to, you know, having to screw and unscrew with devices all the time, or just messing around with things the way you normally wouldn't. Mm-hmm. But I think the average user is not gonna be comfortable with looking at trying to, you know, take their thing apart with a tool they never, well, even if it's a screwdriver, but any extra steps between them and getting something that should be kind of common done is going to be a real turnoff for people.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. Well, I hadn't even thought of that, but that's true.
I think if you're like, say, a parent and you want to buy the new system for a smaller kid, I mean, I would say that 4 gigabytes would probably be sufficient for some downloadable games and you know, if it's save files on one card, you know. Maybe I'm just going back to my childhood and I didn't get very many games, but I don't think they would have to mess with the memory card. And those are the type of people that I think would have the most issue with trying to mess with it. I think your average hardcore gamer is going to be comfortable with changing out the memory cards, and it won't be too big of a deal.
I will also say that when I was researching the 3DS, the new 3DS, well, it doesn't apply to us North Americans. Apparently, in order to swap the plates, you're also going to have to need to work a screwdriver into that equation. Same type of screwdriver. I mean... I don't know, maybe people overseas are more comfortable with, you know, we're just adding more steps to that kind of thing, and we're just kind of lazy over here. You know, Trevor brought up a good point about hitting buttons to get to the Wii Virtual Console.
You know what? We were talking about RFU cables, and now we're complaining about regular screwdrivers. I think we've just gone soft, you know?
I don't think the screwdriver they're asking for is a regular type of screwdriver, though.
It could be purchased. We've gone soft. We need to get our hands dirty again.
Yeah.
Well, maybe Nintendo figures the new 3DS audience are the enthusiasts who've already bought, you know, at this stage in its life, are the new users going to be maybe more inclined to a cheaper 2DS or something?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's all, that's why, I mean, obviously Nintendo can't reveal their, you know, the process and how they come to these decisions, but they must have some kind of marketing data or surveys or whatnot that indicate that, you know, whatever, who's more likely to use a screwdriver, who's more likely to download certain type of games. I don't know. Nintendo's got quite a eclectic fan base, so who knows?
I guess only time will tell.
I want to see that survey, the one where it says who's most likely to use a screwdriver. I'm really interested to see who's in that no column. That seems like an interesting bunch of folks I would like to meet for a study.
Uh-huh.
Well, Grant, a regular screwdriver versus the O2 screwdriver or whatever, you know, there's a difference.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because we all have, like, Phillips screwdriver and a flathead screwdriver. Like, not very many people are going to have O-type screwdriver, or star screwdriver, whatever, you know, whatever it's called.
Uh-huh.
I saw O-type, so I'm going to keep going with that.
You take it into Lowe's and you find an associate and you say, can you find a screwdriver for this? Uh-huh. Will they even be able to point it out to you?
Yeah.
I don't know. I've been to those places before and they may or may not be able to do that. Uh-huh. I think you're better off looking it out on your own, finding a picture, printing out that picture, and then look, going to them and say, can you find me this?
Simple Amazon search. Yep. You'll get it.
Uh-huh.
We'll be making YouTube videos, a step-by-step walkthrough on how to change this.
I hope
this.
You're ready, Matt.
Yeah.
I am.
Step-by-step with Trevor.
I cannot wait, actually. I can't wait. I think that's everything I wanted to cover about the new 3DS. Does anybody else have anything they wanted to talk about with it?
Well, if we are getting it, what models are we getting?
There we go.
The only models I've seen so far are the Majora's Mask model, the standard red and blue models, I think, and then also the Monster Hunter 4 model.
It's a red, red and black.
Purchase one.
Red and black?
Mm-hmm. If you're going to purchase one, which one are you going to get?
I would get the Monster Hunter 4 because that is the most sleek-looking one.
Mm-hmm.
Or the Majora's Mask because that one actually has the AC adapter in there.
Good luck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's already gone.
They're all gone.
They announced it, which shocked me, but at the same time didn't shock me.
Yeah.
I think one thing we haven't talked about with the 3DS, and I'm curious to see how they're going to start incorporating the Amiibo line into new 3DS games. Maybe are there going to be standard releases that have enhanced functionality, you know, if they have the new model?
Yeah, because we know Smash Brothers is going to use it. It's going to be the first 3DS game. And what I noticed in the Direct, I think that's not going to be available at launch. They said there's going to be an Amiibo software update that's coming, I think they just said, in February for the new 3DS. So we'll probably have some new system update that'll add Amiibo support for that.
They also said that they would announce the peripheral for regular 3DS owners to be able to use Amiibo. So they were going to announce that peripheral at a later date, so we still don't know when that's coming out.
Yeah, because they had kind of shown it off in the past of something that, you know, a little dock thing that could sync up infrared or something like that to the regular 3DS. So, and you've got to think that, like, Pokemon or, you know, some of the big handheld games are going to take advantage of Amiibo in some way.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be interesting to see.
All right.
What color are you going to get? Because nobody else answered my question.
Oh, I'm going to get the red one.
What about you, Trevor?
You know, I broke down and on Black Friday, I actually I couldn't hold out because I still had the basic launch model.
Mm-hmm.
So I bought this bad boy here. For $149.
Nice.
I've seen that one in the store. It looks nice.
Yeah, I couldn't beat the price, and it had a second copy of the game, so now I can play two-player with my wife, and it had all the DLC preloaded. So, yeah, it was too good of a value from my perspective to wait. So, but who knows? I mean, time will tell if I if I splurge on another one. If I did get one of the three, I think it would be the Monster Hunter. It's like matte. I like the finish look on it. I think it's pretty sleek.
Yeah, it's like a metallic finish.
Yeah,
that's the one that I'm getting. I already went and pre-ordered that one. I just, while the Nintendo Direct was going on, I just kind of stared in the corner at my PS Vita and watched it collect dust a little bit. And I was like, you know, it's time to go. I haven't played you in months.
Ice cold.
I brought that puppy to GameStop and said, get me a Monster Hunter. So maybe if Matt's up to it, I'll do an unboxing video.
I'm totally up to it. Send me stuff.
Yeah.
I do want to say, Alex's unboxing series has garnered more views than most of our videos online at this point.
Has it really?
Yeah, you're doing a good job. You're gaining popularity there.
Huzzah. Well, now I got an HD camera, so I can record in 720p. So,
yay!
And I do have the third unboxing video. I have the video recorded. I just need to put it together and send it to you, Matt. I just kind of forgot about it.
All right, that's all right. All right, and we're gonna go ahead and wrap up this KoopaCast, unless anybody else has anything else to say.
Okay.
I'm excited for new 3DS. It's Game Boy Color for me all over again.
I know. The Game Boy Color was amazing.
Yes, everybody loves Game Boy Color.
That was actually the first system I bought with my own money, I think.
Mine was Game Boy Advance, actually.
Yeah.
Nintendo 64.
Oh, that's a good one, too.
Sega Genesis. Man, I feel old. With you guys.
Talking about RS and Sega Genesis.
Yeah.
I can't remember. Trevor, you are the oldest one out of all of us, right?
I am. I've got the edge. I think J Money is second, and we discovered Monday.
How old are you, Trevor?
A bit. How old do I look? Hang on. How old do I look?
I feel like you said you were 30, right?
I'm in my 30s.
Okay. There you go.
I might have said it on an old Koopa chat, a Koopa cast. So
there you go again, call the Koopa chat.
Google viewers can look at all the old ones I'm in and see if I ever said it, but I'm in my 30s.
And we actually did get a reader question in.
Yes.
But this guy's kind of a hooligan. I think we all know him as Purely James on Twitter.
Oh, geez, that guy.
He's been following us for years. He wants to know who has bigger leg muscles. That's the question.
That is the question, isn't it?
That is the question.
The question of the day.
All right, well, let's see here.
There you go.
I can't even lift my leg up that high, so it's not me.
I used to run track, but it's been a while since I've done that, so.
I played tennis and flag football recently, but those were both the first time in a while, so. I would say, have it not say me.
I have a good vertical jump, but
there you go.
That's about it.
I'm just gonna go out on a limb and say it's me. Just
all right, there you go.
There you go.
Alex has the biggest ups.
Yeah.
I can jump with the best of them.
And we actually did get some questions last week too. I wanted to cover those.
Oh yeah.
One was he wants that guy 1788 on the website. Wants to know what your favorite Pokemon is and why.
Ooh, that's a tough one.
It's like picking your favorite child.
I know. Just... Yeah. Oh,
this is
man. I know, because I would say I have like favorite ones like that have like really cool moves that I love.
I think
they're the coolest looking. I don't know.
I think removing all nostalgia and just looking at it design wise, I think Kingdra has been my favorite. It looks cool. It's got really cool moves, and in the new games, they're really nice with the way critical hits work, and you can make a totally abusive strategy with him, which is a lot of fun. Not for your opponent, but it's fun for you. There's nothing like a Draco Meteor with critical hits that never misses. That's fun.
There was a really cool one. I like the What's the one with the huge claw in the new in Gen 6? His evolution. Clauncher? No.
I could not tell you at all.
You gotta tell me more, but then instead of giant claw, that kind of, there's lots of them with giant claws.
No. Like it looks like a lobster.
Oh yeah, Clauncher. And then what was
his evolution?
His evolution. I don't remember what his.
Clawitzer.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, Clawitzer or Clawitzer, whatever it is.
Is that supposed to be like a playoff of Howitzer?
Yeah, it's like Howitzer, but mixed with claw.
It's like a little shrimp.
Yeah.
And his shiny version is awesome because it looks exactly like Zoidberg from Futurama.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, so he's a cool looking one. He's number 693. We're over 700, folks. Over 700.
And, Trevor, you haven't answered yet. You got one?
Nope. I am a sporadic Pokemon player.
Just say so Blastoise.
I'm not informed enough to have a real opinion. I'm sorry.
Safe answer is Blastoise and Charizard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Charizard's again.
Is there one that people kind of hate, like the underdog? Maybe I'll go for him.
Jinx? Or...
Jinx is pretty hated.
Mr. Mime. No, Mr. Mime's okay.
I kind of like Mr. Mime.
Yeah.
Metapod. He's your favorite.
There you go. And your favorite mood is move is Harden.
Because it's the only move.
Yeah.
You guys, I'm sure that's funny, but...
Yeah. It is.
It's funny. It's funny. Trust us.
I feel young again.
Yeah.
Oh man. And I guess if I had to pick one, I don't know. I'm in the same camp as Trevor, where I got as far as Gen 2 and then I stopped. I don't know anybody past that. So as far as I can say, I'd say just Hitmonlee. That's the only one. There you go.
Yeah.
Not a bad choice.
It's hard. I remember that was one of my when I reviewed Pokemon Link Battle Trezei.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I felt like that was a real like enthusiast type game. Like if you religiously stick with every incarnation of the game, and I felt a little lost to some extent because it's like, you know, okay, this one is. But yeah, there's. I mean. Props to those who really can get into the series. I'm not knocking it by any means. It's just, you know, it's not my first choice.
You can't hang with the Pokemans.
Mm-hmm. Pokemon Snap for the Wii U needs to happen.
No, it doesn't.
Oh, yes, it does.
It's not going to happen. They're not going to make another one of those.
It needs to happen.
Nor should they. I hope they never make another Pokemon Snap.
You know, that's going to be my prediction for every year until it comes true. Like, yes. You guys had Star Fox. Mine's just going to be Pokemon Snap.
Yeah. And it finally came true.
Yeah, I can't believe that came true. I was like, that was the first thing I was thinking of. I was like, oh, right, a new Star Fox. I'm like, holy smokes, the predictions are actually right this year.
Well, at least, like if you do, like, a new Star Fox or new Metroid, you're going to be right eventually because they're kind of their big franchises. Whereas Pokemon Snap, we may never be right. Who knows?
You know something? I hope that when it does come out, when they when your teammates talk to you on like the little computer screen, I hope it pops up exclusively on the gamepad. Yeah. So it almost feels like an onboard computer that you're looking at.
Yes.
That would be cool.
And seriously, like the minecart levels in Captain Toad, it's Pokemon Snap. It's just Pokemon Snap with turnips, guys. Come on. Just make it. Just make it.
All right. And I think with that, we are going to close out KoopaCast this week.
Koopa Snap? Is that what you mean?
No,
KoopaCast. Hey, where's Tristan this week? Did Tristan make it?
I don't know. I haven't heard from him at all.
He's probably out drinking at some bar again.
Probably.
I think what's the hashtag?
Oh, yeah. Hashtag
shame on you.
Shame on Tristan.
I'm telling you guys, there's a Hatsune Miku game coming out for the 3DS. need to get him a review code and force him to review it.
Yeah.
Yes, Capcom, if you're watching this, please send the Hatsune Miku Project Diva F 3DS code to Tristan at purenintendo.com.
Yes.
He is your biggest fan.
He's absolutely. But he's so embarrassed about it that he'll never come out and say it directly.
I love it.
But anyway.
I feel complete now.
Yes.
I feel like we'll close out every KoopaCast like this until Tristan comes on.
Yes.
But another way to close out the KoopaCast is I also always like to thank our viewers for watching another episode. I'd like to thank Trevor, Justin, and Alex for coming on and talking to me about the new 3DS.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
I want to thank the people for writing in questions. If you want to ask other questions, you can leave a comment on our KoopaCast pages on purenintendo.com. You can also talk to us on Twitter. We love talking to our fans on Twitter. We each have our own handles. If you go to purenintendo.com and click on the page that says the staff, you can find out more there. So until next time, we all wish you happy gaming in these next 2 weeks. See you later, folks.
Bye.
Take care, everybody.
Yeah.